Tonight is June the 14th, and we are on page 216 in our creation shiur. And we are about to begin the story of Yosef in jail with the butler and the baker and their dreams. So we're up to Perek Mem, chapter 40, at the bottom of the page, verse 1. And because this is an abridged class this evening, so we're not going to be able to fully develop our thoughts, so we'll begin it this evening, and we will finish it off Mitzvah Hashem next week. So, the pasuk begins, V'yachar dvorim o'ele, was after these things, Chatu mashkei melech Mitzrayim v'ho'ofeh, the butler of the king of Mitzrayim sinned, and the baker, La'adonehem, to their master, Lamelech Mitzrayim, to the king of Egypt. Vayiktzov Paro al Shnei Sarisov, and Paro became angry with his two officers, al Sar HaMashkim, al Sar HaOfer, on the chief butler and the chief baker. Vayiteno Sam B'mishmar, and he put them in under guard, Beis Sar HaTavachim, in the house of the chief butcher. You'll remember that was Yosef's erstwhile master, that would be Potiphar. El Beis HaSohar, to the jail, which was that big hole in the ground. Mekom Asher Yosef Asor Sham, the place that Yosef was locked there, or held there. Vayivkod Sar HaTavachim Es Yosef Itam, and the chief butcher appointed Yosef with them. Vayeshar Asosam, and he served them. Vayu Yomim B'mishmor, and they were under guard for days. Days means a year. They were there for a year. Vayachalmu Chalom Shnehem, and they each dreamt a dream. Ish Chalomo, each man his dream, B'layla Echad, on one night. Ish Kifison Chalomo, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Hamashkev ha'ofeh, the butler and the baker, Asher l'melech Mitzrayim, that were to the king of Egypt, Asher asurim v'veis ha'sor, that were locked up in the jail. Vayavo alehem Yosef ha'boker, Yosef came upon them in the morning. Vayaros, and he saw them, v'inam zo'afim, and they translated here as aggrieved. Vayishalas sriseh farah, when he asked the officers of Paro, Asher Itov Mishmar, that were with him under guard, Beis Adonav Lemor, in the house of his master, saying, Madua Pnechem Roim Ayom, why are your faces bad or sad or evil today?
Downcast, okay.
Vayom Roilav, they said to him, Chalom Chalamnu, we dreamt the dream, Ufoseir Eno So, and there is no explanation for it, or there is no interpretation for it. Vayomer lehem Yosef said to them, Halo lelokim pisronim, but isn't interpretation to God? Sapu nali, tell them to me. Okay, that's as far as we're going to get this evening. The fun part, of course, is the dreams themselves. But there's plenty to talk about just with this itself.
Amen.
Let us let's do a little investigation here. When was the last time that we were introduced to Paro? It's been a long time since we were introduced to Paro. This is not the first time, but it's been a long time.
Yaakov?
Before that.
Abraham.
All the way back in Parshas Lech Lecha. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Parshas Lech Lecha. Hold the place here on 216. Let's go all the way back to page 56. Who remembers what we said on page 56? Approximately 2.5 years ago. 2 years ago. You recall that when Abraham and Sarah came to Eretz Canaan, they were immediately beset by a famine. And now they had to travel to Egypt to find food. And he says to Sarah, say you're my sister. And because otherwise they're going to kill me and take you. So Abraham says, or the Pasuk says, I should say, starting with Yud Dalet 14. Vayihi kevo Avram Mitzrayim, it was when Avram came to Egypt. Vayiru haMitzrayim es haYisha, the Egyptians saw the woman, ki yafa himo, that she was very beautiful. Vayiru osaf sarei Pharaoh, and the officials of Paro saw her. Vayihanalu osa el Paro, and they praised her to Paro. Vatukach haYisha beis Paro, and the woman was taken to the house of Paro. So the king of Egypt is referred to as how? Three times in this pasuk.
Paro.
Paro. Right? Mm-hmm. Nowhere does the Torah explain to us that Paro is the king of Egypt. It's self-explanatory from the way you read the Psukim. But she was seen by the officials of Paro. She was praised to Paro. She was taken to the house of Paro. Avraham becomes wealthy because of her. Let's skip to the next Pasuk. Yod Zion 17. Vayinaga Hashem es Paro. Nigoyim gedolim v'espeso, and Hashem afflicted Paro with great afflictions and his household. Aldamar Sarai Yeshes Avram, on the word of Sarai, the wife of Avram. Vayikra Paro le'Avram, Paro called to Avram. Vayomer mazosa sisa li, what'd you do to me? Lama lo higadta li ki ishtachahi, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Lama marata achosi, why'd you say she's my sister? Vayikacho sali li'isha, and I took her as a wife for me. Ve'ata hine ishtachah kacholecha, now, behold, here is your wife, take her and leave. Vayitzav alav Paro anashim, and Paro commanded on him men. Vayishalchu oso, and they sent him away, v'esisho, and his wife, v'eskola shalom, and all that he had. Six times we have a reference to the king of Egypt here, and every time he is referred to as Paro. Never is he referred to as Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt. That's all six references in Lech Lecha are always Paro. There is no mention of Paro or of the king of Egypt until Parshas Vayeshev, where we're up to now. There is one other reference just a little bit before where we're up to, and that is when Yosef is sold, which is back on page 206. The very bottom of the page, the last pasuk on the page on 206, verse 36. V'hamidanim machru oso el Mitzrayim, and the Midanim sold him to Mitzrayim, lepotifar sris Paro, to Potifar, the official of Paro, sarhat habachim, the chief butcher. So here we have again a reference to Paro. We skip ahead to page 212. Where the sale is recounted. V'Yosef Harad Mitzrayim, Yosef was brought down to Egypt. V'Yikneu Potifar Sris Paro. And Potifar, the official of Paro, purchased him. Again, a reference to Paro. So far the Torah has had to mention the king of Egypt eight times, and every time the term used is Paro. The first time that we have a reference to Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, is here in the first pasuk that we did tonight on page 216, where it says, "Chatu mashkei melech Mitzrayim ha'ofe," the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, and the baker. So we have a change in the Torah. Yes.
Didn't Yitzchak have the same mitzvah that Abraham had with Paro?
Not with Paro.
Avimelech.
Right. Yeah, with Avimelech. Right.
Yeah. I don't know when the term Paro is used, that it's like it's saying Caesar, or that's the name of the king of Egypt, that it's one and the same Paro, or is it different? Like, how does one know in the timeline what the reference in the Torah is?
It is referring to the king of Egypt.
Do you have saying it's the same person?
Oh, I don't know.
People, or
I don't know.
Does it matter?
There are midrashim that want to say that certain people are the same, but I don't know. So, here, you have in the first pasuk two references to the king of Egypt, but he's not referred to as Paro. Mm-hmm. He's referred to as the king of Egypt. Chatu Mashke Melech Mitzrayim V'Ha'ofe, the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, and the baker, La'adonehem, to their master, Le'Melech Mitzrayim, to the king of Egypt. It's redundant, first of all. Second of all, it is the king of Egypt rather than Paro. The very next pasuk, Vayiktzov Paro, and Paro became angry. Al Shnei Sarisav, on his two officials, Al Sar HaMashkim and Al Sar HaOfim, the chief butler and the chief baker. He put them under guard. The chief butcher appointed Yosef to serve them. They dreamt a dream. And if you look in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, at the end of the Pasuk, when I want to tell you who dreamt the dream, it says, HaMashke v'ha'ofed, the butler and the baker, Asher l'melech Mitzrayim, that were to the king of Egypt. Again, a reference to the king of Egypt.
Both times in relation to the cupbearer and the baker.
Okay, both times in relation to the butler and the baker. So, and then if you move on in the story, it goes back to Paro. And from here on in, Paro is the choice term. So we have three references not to Paro, but to Melech Mitzrayim. It's the same person. The question is why the Torah changes from its typical practice of referring to the king of Egypt as Paro, which was his name. Yeah.
Maybe there's some intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's Melech Mitzrayim as opposed to Paro.
Okay, perhaps there's some more intervention.
Which is why he's put into prison with these two people.
Okay, let's see if that holds up. Good. Now, we'll find later when we get to the exile in Egypt and the slavery that sometimes Paro is referred to as Paro, sometimes it was Melech Mitzrayim. And we'll talk about that Mirtz Hashem when we get there. But for the here and now, we have to assume that the typical choice of terms by the Torah is Paro, not Melech Mitzrayim. And therefore, the one that needs to be explained is the times that the term Melech Mitzrayim is used. There are other problems with these verses. You have much redundancy. The butler and baker seem to be mentioned too many times. Let's see how many times the butler and baker are mentioned, and let's see whether we could have figured it out on our own that we're talking about the butler and baker by the time the Torah repeats it for the third time. Pasuk Aleph, it says that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker sinned to their master, to the king of Egypt. Paro got angry on his two officials. On, by the way, in case you didn't know which officials, because maybe you would think that since the butler and baker sinned, maybe he'd get angry at the butcher. No, you should know that the officials he got angry at were those very same, coincidentally, those very same officials. The official, the head butler, and the head baker. So right over there, that's obviously a problem. Why does the Torah have to stress it was the chief butler and the chief baker? You just told me it was the butler and baker who sinned. Okay, so maybe we could have made a mistake. Maybe we could have thought that it was someone else Paro got angry at. Then, if you move on to Pasuk Hey, verse 5, it says, Vayachalmu chalom shneihem. And the two of them dreamt a dream. Now, shneihem is a pronoun, the two of them. Who's them? Well, obviously the butler and baker. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. Ish chalamo b'layla echad, each man his dream in one night. Ish kifison chalamo, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And by the way, in case you don't remember who we're talking about, hamashkev v'ha'ofeh, it was the butler and the baker. And by the way, it wasn't just any butler and baker, it was Asher l'melech Mitzrayim. It was the king of Egypt's butler and baker. And if you forgot where they were Asher asurim b'veis ha'sohar, that they were locked up in the jail. This is very unusual. Clearly the Torah is stressing something for us that we're meant to understand with the redundancy.
My Hebrew is never good, but in the English, in the second example, it's capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have any significance in the Hebrew where the chamberlain of the cupbearers and chamberlain of the bakers capitalized there, mm-hmm. but the next example, the cupbearer and the baker, it's not capitalized. It's like...
It's their title, chamberlain of the cupbearers.
Yeah. Good. Okay, that is a clue. The clue, so then in the Hebrew, right? Because there's no capitalization in Hebrew.
Right.
But the Hebrew, we would point to the difference between when it just says butler and baker, and when it says the chief,
right,
the chamberlain of the butler and the chamberlain of the bakers. In other words, the head butler and baker. So as a result of this redundancy and this difference in how it's phrased, the many Mefarshim say that it was not the chief butler or the chief baker that actually sinned. It was a butler and a baker, or the butler and baker who were on duty at the time that they sinned to the king of Egypt. They did wrong, and Paro then got angry at their superiors. When it was one of the lower ranks that sinned, then the higher rank is responsible, in stark contrast to many instances that we have had recently in the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a transgression on the lower levels, who's responsible? The upper levels are responsible. If you're in charge, you better make sure your subordinates are doing a good job. That's why you are the superior. Mm-hmm. Because you're meant to keep an eye on your subordinates. And if you're not keeping an eye on your subordinates, then you get the blame. That's what happens over here. So in the first pasuk where it says that, it says, Chatum Ashkei Melech Mitzrayim V'Ha'ofeh, it says that the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, and the baker, to their master, to the king of Egypt. So before we get into the redundancy of the king of Egypt and why it says their master, but these were subordinates. These were the butler and baker on duty at that time sinned. Paro therefore got angry on the chief butler and the chief baker, on his two officers. By itself, Paro al shnei salisav. He didn't get angry at the subordinates. They're just lower down on the totem pole. Yes, they'll be punished, but not by Paro. That wasn't Paro's anger. Paro was upset with the superior officers, the ones who were meant to make sure something like this didn't happen. And so he got angry at his two officers. They were the chief butler and the chief baker. He put them under guard, and then later on, when they dreamt their dream, it seems, when they dreamt their dream, in Pasuk Hey, there's redundancy even in how they dreamt their dream, which we'll have to talk about. Mm-hmm. They dreamt their dream, the two of them, each man, a dream that in one night, each man, the interpretation of his dream, according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker to the king of Egypt. What happened to their title? Sar Hamashkim, Sar Ha'ofim. Well, this should be pretty straightforward. What is the Torah emphasizing to us?
They were demoted.
They were demoted. Once they were put in jail, they lost their title of Sar HaTabachim and Sar HaOfim. They have been demoted to simply the butler and the baker and the candlestick maker. They are now the butler and the baker. That's all. They are not the chief butler, nor are they the chief baker. And the dream was in that context. Now that's crucial when we get to Yosef's interpretations of the dreams. It's important to note that those who are dreaming the dreams are no longer the chief butler and the chief baker. They have been demoted. That's important to know. We know, of course, that Yosef is going to predict, based on the dreams, that one will go back to his original post and one will be hung. It's important to note they were no longer the chief butler and chief baker when Yosef is interpreting the dreams. But that's the interpretations and the dreams themselves we're going to get to next week, Meretz Hashem. Okay, so far so good. What was the sin that they did? It says they sinned. What sin was done?
A stone in the bread and a fly in the wine.
Okay, so the Medrash tells us that there was a fly found in the wine, and there was a stone found in the bread. Now this helps explain, as the Mefarshim say, this helps understand a curiosity in the first pasuk. In the first pasuk, back on page 216, it says the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, and the baker. Why didn't it say the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt sinned? The way that the Torah breaks it up is funny. The butler of the king of Egypt and the baker. Wasn't he also the baker of the king of Egypt? Mm-hmm. It would be difficult to say he was the baker of many people. He was just the local Simone's bakery that they went to and bought bread for the king. That's unlikely, right? The king has his own special baker, you would imagine. So why did it say the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker? It should say the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt. So I saw one of the Mefarshim, one of the commentaries, wants to suggest that the butler's sin was not as bad as the baker's sin. Because a fly getting into the wine, although it is definitely negligence on the part of the person who's supposed to be watching the wine, but that's something which sometimes happens. It's difficult to make sure that nothing gets into the wine. It's more difficult to keep a fly out of the wine than it is to keep a stone out of the bread. Because a stone out of the bread, what you do is you sift the flour before baking, and then you just bake. The stones don't on their own jump into the flour. So after you've sifted it, then there shouldn't be no longer any stones there unless you did a poor job of sifting. Whereas with the wine, you have to constantly guard it to keep flies from getting in there. Now, to be sure, if you are the king's butler, you had better constantly guard it to make sure no flies get in there. However, it's not as bad as the sin of the baker. Therefore, the way the Torah expresses it is, the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, which means it was only a sin because he was the butler of the king of Egypt. Meaning that for anybody else, it happens. You wouldn't necessarily fire your butler the first time you found a fly in your wine. If it happened repeatedly, you'd fire your butler. But if it happened one time, it happens. The only reason why this was a sin is because it was the king of Egypt. And for the king of Egypt, that's a sin. Whereas for the baker, finding a stone in your bread, even if you're not the king of Egypt, you fire your baker. Because that's negligence. That's worse than finding a... So therefore, his sin was in the capacity of being the baker, irrespective of the fact that he was also the baker of the king of Egypt. Just the fact that he was the baker already was a sin, because he let the stone into the dough. Whereas for the butler, it's only because he was the butler of the king of Egypt that it is considered a sin. Yes? Linda.
In verse 5, it says the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt.
Right. That's not talking about their sin. That's later on. That's discussing the dream or being put in jail. Here, in discussing the sin, it's broken up in this way to point out this point. Yeah?
With the fly that was found in the wine, it was also during the backstroke. That was the worst part of it.
Now, why does it repeat, why is there a reference to the king of Egypt instead of Paro? And why is it repeated? The king of Egypt to their master, to the king of Egypt. So here we move into a more sinister plot that the Medrash discusses. The Medrash discusses that there actually was a plot against the king. The butler and baker, the chief butler and chief baker, had their eyes on the princess, on the daughter of Paro. And therefore, they knew they would not get her hand in marriage. And therefore, their interest was to remove Paro from the scene, and then take his daughter, and then assume royalty for themselves. And so, their interest was to get rid of Paro. That's why there's a stress on the king of Egypt. That's why the Torah switches over here and says that the sin was to the king of Egypt, to their master, to the king of Egypt. This was a treason. It wasn't just negligence, but there was a treason going on. Had the Torah only used the word Paro, we would have said it was a negligence. They were negligent in how they dealt with the great Paro. But by using the term king of Egypt, there is an implication that there was a threat to the monarchy. And that's what was happening over here. They were trying to usurp the kingdom. Now, whether their method was to plant a fly or a stone in the food and the drink, or the way the Medrash seems to say it is that they had planned on actually poisoning the king. But if you say they were trying to poison the king, so what's with the stone and the fly? So then we would have to conclude that because they were set on getting rid of the king anyway, they weren't as scrupulous as they would normally have been in keeping the dough clean and keeping the wine clean, because they were busy plotting to kill the king. So they weren't on top of their game, and as a result, the fly got into the dough and the stone got in, the fly got into the wine and the stone got into the dough. Paro gets angry at his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. He puts them under guard in the house of the chief into the jail. Now here's an important phrase at the end of Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Mikom asher Yosef asur sham. The place that Yosef was held there, was locked up there. Do you remember this phrase slightly differently? We mentioned it last week. Look back on page 216, one page earlier. When Yosef was put into jail, it says in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Vayikach Adonai Yosef Oso, the master of Yosef took him, Vayitneu El Beis Hasor, he put him into the jail, Mekom Asher, the place that Asirei HaMelech Asurim, where the prisoners of the king were confined. Here, it's the place that Yosef was confined. In the short time that Yosef was there, the jail, the reputation of the jail had transformed itself. It used to be known as the jail where political prisoners were kept, the king's prisoner's jail. But with Yosef there, it was now known as the place where Yosef was being held prisoner. Yosef was so well known. His meteoric rise to power, both under the as a slave and now as a prisoner, he becomes so well known that it is the title of the jail becomes the place where Yosef was confined. This, of course, is a foreshadowing of the Jews. We know that wherever we go, it's always that's where everything is defined by us. Our name gets put at the top. But for Yosef, it was a significant point that it was known as the place where Yosef was, since he became in charge of the jail. Yes?
It's very interesting. You know, you see the Purim story also, Bichron and Sheresh. Mm-hmm. Also, two people there caused problems plotting. And here again.
And the plotting was manipulated by Hashem mm-hmm. in order to save the Jewish people. Here as well, as we will see, the plotting of the butler and the baker was manipulated by Hashem in order to take Yosef out of jail and also to give Yosef rise to power. Yes, that is correct. Okay, so that as far as we're going to get this evening. As I said, we have to have a shorter class tonight. We will, Bli Neder, next week start again. For those who came late, 8 o'clock next week. Not 7:30 next week, 8 o'clock, 8 to 9. And we will begin with the dreams of the butler and the baker.